Today, we're wrapping up our series on pioneering Black Michiganders. Minnie Forbes is the last living owner of a Negro Leagues baseball team. She was also one of just a handful of female owners. Michigan Radio's Bryce Huffman and I recently visited her home.
Good morning.
Hello. How are you, Ms. Forbes?
I'm good. Come in.
I'm Bryce Huffman.
Hi.
I'm Doug.
Doug, and I'm Minnie.
Yes, nice to meet you in person.
Well, Forbes lives on a quiet street on Grand Rapids' east side. She was born in Mississippi in 1932. Her family moved to Grand Rapids in 1945 to live with her uncle, Ted Raspberry.
And in 1946, he purchased his own team, which was known as the Grand Rapids Black Sox. Then later on, by the time I was 18, I was fully involved as the secretary. We had one of those old typewriters, so I used that to do applications. Later on, I started booking games, selling tickets when they played. Most of that was for the Grand Rapids Black Sox. He didn't get involved with the Negro League until 1953, I believe, when he purchased the Detroit Stars.
That was several years after Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in the major leagues. The Negro League struggled as more players followed him. In 1956, Ted Raspberry bought another team, the historic Kansas City Monarchs. But the Negro American League wouldn't allow him to own both teams.
He said, "How would you like to own a team in the Negro League?" So I thought it was funny at first. We talked about it, and that's how I ended up with the Detroit Stars in 1956.
Could you tell us a little bit about what the climate was like for the players and what it was like being around the teams at that time?
The players traveled, they had nowhere to stay because of the discrimination. So they slept in the buses. And they couldn't go in places to eat, so one person would go to the back door, window, whatever, and get the food for all the players. And they would end up playing games, maybe doubleheaders or whatever, without sleep or the little sleep that they had in the buses. And for them to go through all the trouble that they went through, it shows determination on playing a game they love.
And it must have been especially frustrating for many of them to know they were equally as good or better than some of the players that were on television and being celebrated all across the country.
Yes, it was, but they realized that there would come a day when they would be able to if they just hold on long enough. And some of the players did. And unfortunately, some of the good players, by the time that the time came, they were too old to play.
You were a softball player. How did you come to play a little bit in some games with some of your uncle's teams?
It was just the Kansas City Monarchs. There was a big game here in Grand Rapids. Ted thought it would be a good idea because there were also women players that played back with the Negro League back in the 20s and 30s and 40s. He thought it would be a good idea if we had a woman.
What position did you play?
He had me on third base that day, and I'm wondering if he knew all the hitters was going to hit the other way. And
you didn't see a lot of action over at third?
No. And I'm glad I didn't because I kept saying, oh, boy. This is
Minnie Forbes had pulled out some of her photos and memorabilia from the Negro Leagues.
That's me and my uncle when he was giving me the contract.
And is that when you were taking over the team?
Yes.
What was that like?
See, I was about to cry. See the tears. Thought, oh no, what am I doing?
How old would you have been when you took over the team?
I think I was 25, wow. 24, 25.
In 2013, President Obama honored you and some players. Mm-hmm. What was it like to meet the first African-American president and be able to talk about your experiences at a time that was so different for the country and when the game was segregated?
I haven't been able to find a word big enough to express how I felt. That was so exciting, and it was a surprise. I got a call one day saying that we were invited to the White House, and I thought it was a joke. And I said, oh, okay. And we went to the White House, and it was just emotional and happy, and that was something that I will always remember.
When you owned the Detroit Stars, the leagues were really on their way down because so many players were going up to the big leagues. Mm-hmm. Was it sad for you and your family at all when the leagues collapsed?
Yes, it was a sad time because the family part that was there was not there anymore.
What did you do after baseball?
After baseball, I went into retail and I worked at a store called Jacobson Stores Incorporated, and I worked there for 39 years.
You're the last living owner from the Negro Leagues. What does it feel like to be that connection to that period?
I feel that I'm speaking for, I'm representing, I guess. And I just wonder if I'm worthy of representing and speaking about the Negro League, because when I got involved, things was easier for me than it was for the one before me.
Well, Minnie Forbes, I want to thank you so much for spending time with us today. It's been really fun to talk to you.
Well, thank you.